3 o'clock. Ted Johnson's here.
What's up, guys? How we doing?
Well, I don't know if you heard. You got beef with Will Clark.
You guys are. It's like I think it's like Friday, September 13th. You guys are fighting on pay per view.
Is that right? Yeah.
He called you a weak ass East Coast media DB.
Yeah,
or something like that.
Yeah, me personally.
Ted Johnson. Yeah. It was weird.
So you know, it's amazing how many fights Andy has lined up in the short time we've been working.
Did you know this? That you're going to get into this?
No. It's just I should have seen the pattern. I mean,
we're
it was kind of early.
And so now he goes on some podcast, a Zoom. I don't know when it was.
Is that the guy you want me to beat up?
Yes.
That guy?
Okay. Yep. Will
right.
Clark.
Oh,
you, you can take him.
One of the many,
much
by the
smaller.
Way.
I've been working out a lot.
Yeah.
I'm feeling pretty
good. You look
good.
Mm-hmm. You're still in good shape.
Yeah.
He seems like he doesn't work out as much and maybe spends time.
He's let go of the rope a little bit.
You go to East Coast Men's Health, he goes to West Coast Men's Dumb.
He and Stiz do the same thing after work every day.
Yeah, you know, 1, 2.
12-ounce curls.
3. 144 ounces later. Man, yo, how come I got this beer belly?
This audio is gold, though. It's absolute gold. It's like I mean, you talk about a guy that just wanted sparked this story.
Yep.
I mean, he just poured, you know, kerosene all over it,
100%.
And it's blaming Will Fleming for it. It's the complete and utter cluelessness on his part is kind of breathtaking.
It's
awesome
and entertaining.
Yeah, very entertaining
for us, even though he's attacking us on some level. But it is 3 o'clock. Ted Johnson's here. Three hosts are in the studio here in Brighton. That means it's time for 3 Point Stance.
319.
Ready.
It's the 3 Point Stance.
I'm going to count to three.
Tatum puts up a three. Bam!
Easy as 1, 2, 3.
Pasternak, a hat trick and a 4-3 Boston lead.
Three.
And it is gone. A 3-run homer and the game is tied.
On WEEI Afternoons.
All right, gentlemen, it's time for today's 3 Point Stance here on WEEI Afternoons, which is brought to you by Jeffrey Glassman Injury Lawyers, Boston's go-to injury attorney for over 30 years. If you've been hurt in a car or work accident, or you use Ted Johnson as a human shield against Will Clark, you got to get Glassman. And you can call all sevens to do that at 617-777-7777. As it is 3 o'clock here on WEEI Afternoons, we have three hosts all in studio, each of which will present their stances on the biggest stories in the world of sports today. Ding. Each host will get 60 seconds, to present their opening stance, after which we will open up for discussion on each. Our order is Andy Hart, then Nick Fitzy Stevens, and then Ted Johnson. Andy, you will lead us off. Are you ready?
I indeed am.
Do you have your notification set?
I do.
Okay.
Well, you heard the starting bell, which means you have 60 seconds, which start right now.
Okay, so about a month ago, I think I addressed this topic. Christian Campbell was one of the big three. Uh-oh. He was the first of the big three that was in the big leagues to start the year, played ball with them on a contract, rookie of the month, and the bottom fell out after that. He has since been sent down to Worcester. I don't know if anybody's been paying attention to Christian Campbell in Worcester.
Not closely, no.
No. Well, he's not good there either. He has had 50 at-bats. He is batting a nice, even 200. Ooh. He does not have a home run. He has 3 doubles, 1 triple, so not exactly knocking the ball around. He is looking not like a big league superstar, what he was supposed to be, the minor league player of the year last year, first guy in the big leagues. As we get to the trade deadline and we start talking about the Joe Ryans of the world or the Mason Millers of the world or whoever you want to talk about, we see Marcelo Meyer in the big leagues and we go, I think he's going to be a big leaguer, looks the part. Maybe it's at second base for a little while. Christian Campbell didn't look good at second base, didn't look good at the plate, still doesn't look good at the plate. If teams still want Christian Campbell and his cost-controlled contract, I'll say it again, trade Christian Campbell to make your team better.
Interesting.
Okay. Nailed that. That was a good 60 seconds right there.
Yeah. No, that's interesting. I haven't heard a lot of people clamoring for that.
No.
It's been Duran. It's been Abreu.
Right. Yeah,
it's been someone else in the farm or the system with surplus of righty arms like Fitz or...
I'm just curious, that contract, you feel like it's cost control, is it? How good is he?
It could become an albatross soon. It could become a bad contract, but I have to think... The guy that as recently as the end of April was the rookie of the month in Major League Baseball.
Yeah.
There has to be somebody out there that looks at him and goes, that guy is still there. I like him. I want him on my team. take advantage of that guy.
Yeah.
There's a sucker born every day. There's a sucker born every minute. Yeah. Find that sucker and trade Christian Campbell to him.
Gotcha.
Christian Campbell for Mason Miller. Heard you loud and clear. All
right. It had to happen. I would not make him untouchable. Put it that way. If there were somebody,
no way.
You know how some of these GMs and president of baseball operations Breslovians like to look at these. He's an untouchable.
But that wasn't his guy. That's the one thing he's got in his on his side is that that was not a Breslow choice to bring in Christian Campbell in the original.
But he did sign the deal.
He did sign a deal. That is true. That is true.
I don't think it'd be an albatross. I still think there's enough shine on him that he could be the centerpiece of a big deal that could improve.
Did you hear
this
200 in Worcester?
I did.
That
but
part.
Dude, is he old enough to buy his own beer?
He's one at bat away from
the
Mendoza line. Okay, Denball, go ahead.
Okay, Fitzy, are you ready?
It's my turn. Hooray.
Yes, and make sure you pat yourself on the back like Andy did when you nail your 60 seconds, which begin right now.
All right, so the NFL Top 100 for the 2025 season continues, and as we speculated last week, yes, Christian Gonzalez did make the NFL Top 100, coming in at player number 84. I'm glad that somebody from the New England Patriots will represent this team, considering how bad they were last season and what a dearth of talent there was on the roster. Now, this will come as a surprise. Not that he came in where he did or that he made the list overall. Certain people in this town at other broadcast stations that shall not be named think that this is a massive overrating of his talent and that this team is ticketed for 5 wins total, to which I say, have you ever watched football before? Christian Gonzalez is not just good enough to be on the NFL Top 100. Christian Gonzalez should be much higher than 84 and will be higher than 84 next season. You are looking at somebody who is one of the best players in the NFL, one of the best players at his position. He is about to blossom into superstardom, and I continue to maintain that if Christian Gonzalez, with a healthy secondary and Carlton Davis to his left, Kyle Duggar and Jabril Peppers and Craig Woodson to his rear, with this defensive line, Christian Gonzalez could not just be on his way to superstardom and a higher number on the NFL Top 100 next year. You could possibly be looking at a Defensive Player of the Year candidate. How do you like them apples, Gonzo haters?
Who are the Gonzo haters? Who are you fighting with?
Rhymes with...
No.
Yep.
Don't say it.
Yep.
Don't say it.
Huh? Yep.
I have an idea.
There's actual haters out there?
Yeah.
I must not hear these people.
Are they voices in your head or are they real people?
No, you're wrong, Mike.
Part of it might be that they are looking at the the fact that he's only played 20 games in 2 years. That's
he got hurt.
How's that body of evidence looking so far, though?
I'm trying to think of what arguments could be made against him.
That's about it.
That is about it. So
fluid hips, strong legs, great instinct, ball hawk, tough tackler. Tyreek Hill says best corner in the NFL.
Also keeps his mouth shut and doesn't seem like he's going to get in trouble. Not that matters for on the field, but in terms of a developing star, that's a good thing for an organization to put its faith in. I haven't heard a single hater out there for him, and I think the majority is right. He shows you everything that leads you to believe. The one argument I have against...
Had the best play I saw in minicamp in the 2 days I was there.
Yeah, when he stands out. There are guys that stand out for their build, their fluidity, their speed, something. When you watch Christian Gonzalez, you're like, oh, yeah, I see it. Mm-hmm. He looks the part.
Recovery
like Darrell
speed.
Revis used to do it. You're like, yeah, Darrell Revis looks a little different when he does things. Like
recovery speed,
Gonzo
strength, length. You know, Ted, to a man and a person, ask friends of ours over at NBC Sports Boston, the Herald, the Globe. They'll all say the same thing. Not that we don't believe you walking through the door with your big Ted frame. He was by far the best player at OTAs and minicamps. He is primed for stardom, and when they give you...
Also supposed to be.
But, Carlton Davis to his side in the secondary? Come on now.
I guess I can understand that the rest of the NFL doesn't quite see what we see, though. Like, so if he's rated at 84, I think that's just partially... It's just he's still young. He's missed most of the games his rookie year.
He's a one-year guy.
Yeah, one-year guy. So it's kind of like, okay, you got to see more than 1 year before you put him up there with the tippy-top best of the best. So I'm not surprised. I still think that's... You're in the top 100.
Right.
That's pretty damn good ranking.
Oh, and of all positions, like if you say, so there's 22 positions. So if we put the top, the all pros and the second team all pros, we've already used up 44 spots, right? Like you're already halfway through the top 100.
Yeah.
I think he's in a good spot. I really do. Yeah.
I just can't believe that anybody could comfortably criticize him or say he, like the team, is overrated. Get out of here.
Well, the team is overrated.
People can definitely argue that the team is overrated.
Ding, 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 ding.
There's a lot of people
I'm happy
that
to
are
argue that.
Arguing that. Yeah.
Actually, the more I read these offseason lists and rankings and grades that all these national media outlets put together, I'm like, yeah, they really are overrated.
Well, I'm not. I'm just
secondary
I'm not,
should be this.
No, I'm not saying
team.
That they're right. Mm-hmm. I'm saying you can't argue it. I'm not saying that the people that do argue that they're not very good have at least a case, but it's not a good case in my opinion.
The not very good is I don't think what people are arguing though. It's not what I'm arguing. I'm arguing they're overrated.
Yes.
Those are two different things.
But no. You're arguing they're not very good because your win total is
8.
Would not. Oh, is that what it is?
Yeah. We can go back and find the
graphic. Mine is a 10, and you think you're
at a lot in the NFL.
That's a huge difference.
Those two games are the difference between going home early or
you and
going
I have these completely different viewpoints of the
can
team.
Can you guys pull over so I can get out of the car? Hey, I have a great idea. How about this? So as we sit here discussing what positional groups on the Patriots might be overrated, might be not, et cetera, PFF saying the Patriots have the 5th best secondary in the NFL, how about today we should rank out the positional groupings?
How about we do that around, I don't know, in the 4 o'clock football
hour? At football o'clock, bro.
Damn right. That sounds like a good idea, Fitzy. We'll do that a little bit later. But right now it's time for Ted Johnson and his 3-point stance, Dan Ball.
All right, Ted, you ready?
You know what? Yeah, I was just calculating something
that seems like a no.
I am right. There's
are you out of your mind?
Basically 1800 players in the NFL and you are in the top 100. I'd say you're doing okay. Was the point I was trying to make.
That's very good.
It's about 1800 time. Players 53 times 32 is the number. Okay, hey, you guys, I'm ready, Dan. Yeah, what's taking you guys so long? You guys
1896.
All right.
Right?
And,
Go ahead, Ted. So
I've been kind of following this Stephon Diggs thing. You know, he had some comments recently that I think just kind of piqued my interest when it comes to the offense, working with Josh McDaniels. Is it easy? Is it hard? We all know that this is not an easy offense for guys to pick up, right? And so, and particularly some of the veterans that have come here in the past, receivers have had difficulty picking it up. And here's another one, I think, to some degree, talking about the complexities of the Josh McDaniels offense, that being Stephon Diggs. And he said this, quote, "I'm studying, but it's really the route concepts. Like, basically, if you hear a word, you need to be able to know the word immediately, know the concept. So, really, I'm just working on my memorization. I don't need to know exactly just what I got. I got to know what somebody to the right or to the left of me got, too. So, what everybody got around me, I got to be, how am I going to get open or how am I going to get somebody else open? You know what I'm saying? In between 2 or 3 seconds, when you break the huddle, I'm starting looking at the contour of the defense." What he's saying is, I got to know so much more than just my job. And that's part of the problem with a Josh McDaniels offense is how complex it is. What Josh McDaniels wants is the quarterback and the receivers to see the same thing post-snap. The ball is snapped. They have one route called, but because of what the defense is doing post-snap, they got to change it and see it the same way and know instinctively by repping it time and time again what's supposed to happen. So I'm already a little bit worried because I hear him talking as if this offense, there's a lot of complexities to it, and I'm like, oh, great. Here's another veteran receiver not being able to pick up this offense.
And, Teddy, you're right. This is a story as old as the Josh McDaniels Patriots offense going back to actually the Charlie Weiss Patriots offense from your time. And a quick side note, a guy you'll remember, I believe, 2002. His name was Donald Hayes. He was a free agent wide receiver addition from the Carolina Panthers. Mm-hmm. He was supposed to upgrade the receiver position back then. It was dink. It was dunk. There weren't a lot of bodies, blah, blah, blah.
He was toast.
And it's the one time I really felt bad about a headline I wrote on Patriots Football Weekly. He was toast. He stinked.
He did catch a touchdown
in
the opener.
Did he make the week one roster?
He did, but he couldn't learn the offense.
Got a touchdown in the opener, yeah.
He couldn't learn the offense, and it was this story about how he doesn't fit it. He's used to running just like... Yeah. 9 route, and the headline was In a Haze, and kind of playing off his name.
Oh, that's pretty good headline, Bubba.
It was, until I found out he had a learning disorder,
and I felt like the biggest a-hole in the world.
Shame. But this goes back 20-plus years. Guys arrive, Chad Ochocinco is the most famous. Oh, in Cincinnati, they just told me to run a 7, and that's what I did. And Josh McDaniel's like, well, you're not in Cincinnati anymore. We actually need you to know everything that's going on. He didn't, they couldn't, and they didn't.
Can we ask, can I ask Dan, literally can we expand on this a little bit, Dan? Can we do this?
Yeah, I got an Andy's here and said continue
on this. So this is Like having such a complex system is, if I'm Josh McDaniels, it's okay. I know Drake May isn't going to be here for a year or two. I think I got this quarterback for a year. So he's working with Drake in a way that they're going to be together. He's going to learn it. They're going to be inside and out like Tom Brady over time. He's going to become a supercomputer. The problem is the receivers that come in, they're fly by night. They come in, they leave. Right. They come in, they leave. There's churning of the wide receiver position. And they treat the offense as if these receivers are going to be there for a long time. And it's not. The nature of the business is there's a lot of churning. And so you're bringing in new receivers all the time to learn this very complex offense. And it's, I don't know. Sometimes I worry that it is something that is going to hold this offense back is how hard it is.
And this was something that Bill Belichick talked about when he hired Matt Patricia. In that hole, and it got lost in the craziness of Patricia being a defensive guy, which was crazy. I'm not making excuses, but the subtext to that is they talked about trying to make it
simple,
streamlined, simpler. Simple. College kids could come in and be ready. Veterans could come in and
one
be ready.
One word means the whole thing, right?
Like cards in college. Oh, I hold up Queen Elizabeth, and we all know what to do when we hold up Queen Elizabeth. Yeah. And now they go to Josh, and also there's been this talk. I've talked about it. He has bounced around pro and college teams over the last year, trying to figure out ways to maybe simplify it a little
bit. Top five thing I'm most excited to see is this, whatever McDaniels 3.0 offense is this year.
Yeah, well, we'll see, though. And is he really going to change? And also, the added layer to that is, while he's changing his offense, you got, what's his name from Chicago, the offense, Thomas Brown, adding his things in. And then you got your wide receivers coach, Downing, adding his things in.
Right.
There's just a lot going on there. And I don't know, with a young quarterback, and you talk about the receivers, Ted, some of them have been here a little while. For example, let's say Kendrick Bourne or Pop Douglas. One's been here 5 years now, 4 years, and Kendrick Bourne, Pop Douglas in his third year. Except they've been in a different offense every flipping year. For Kendrick Bourne, it went Josh McDaniels, Bill O'Brien, Alex Van Pelt. Now it's Josh McDaniels.
Don't forget, what's his name?
Matt Patricia.
Matt Patricia was there. Yeah.
And it's like their heads are spinning. They're learning. Now, I do, on one sense, feel bad for them on a level, like, simplify it, don't make it hard. Then the other part of me goes, this is football. You get paid a lot of money. For as old as the age of time, like, kids have been playing Pop Warner, and they're like, oh, when I hear Cherokee, that means I blitz off this side, or I'm, you know what I mean? Like, this is football. You hear a word, and you know what the word means to you at your position. And so, like, plus, didn't he play for Dable? And didn't he talk about Stephon Diggs? Like, oh, there's some carryover from Brian Dable's offense. And
yes. That doesn't mean the words and the verbiage is the same.
No, but
you know, one word might mean something at one team, and on the other team, it's a different word.
Right, but okay, translate it in your head. You're getting paid a lot of money. Study your playbook.
But
translate. But
what he's telling you is that it's not only I got to know my job, I got to know the slot receivers guy, and I got to know what the guy is.
Yeah, so study more.
So much. It's because isn't one of the tenets, one of the hallmarks of the Josh McDaniels offense, is that read and react, like knowing, hot routes, audibles,
shades,
look at the court. Yeah, exactly.
Is the safety inside or outside shoulder of the tight end? How does he adjust? When he adjusts, what does that do to the slot receiver?
I'm telling you, the way you're talking about it, like, well, yeah, that's football. Not everybody teaches offensive football the way Josh
does.
Well,
here's $23 million. Figure it out.
Here's a seven route. Okay, the huddle, the call in the huddle is for you to run a seven route. And then all of a sudden, oh, wait, the safety shaded a little bit. No, now you got to turn that into a post route.
Right.
Oh, there's a nuance to it, and it's not as easy, and not everybody teaches it that way. So to act like, hey, this is how it is at every other team, what's the big deal? It's not. That's what makes New England unique.
Correct. But you chose to sign with the Patriots, so you took the job with the Patriots, and the job with the Patriots for Josh McDaniels is to get up to speed. I also don't love the idea of the veteran guy that we brought in to be the veteran bitching. Because if he bitches, doesn't that give Jalen Polk the avenue to bitch?
I don't know if he's bitching, but he's talking in a way that makes it feel like he might be openly complaining.
Yeah, so keep it to yourself. We ask you to also be a leader. Even if you're struggling, go talk to Josh quietly behind the scenes.
Yeah.
don't talk about it openly, because you now open the door for Polk to be like, oh, I'm glad he said something. I got no idea what I'm doing on that play.
It's tough. It's tough memorizing these plays when you're with the Tootsie. What is it when you're taking, you know, you can take that little Tootsie.
Tootsie.
Tootsie. Okay. Tootsie.
Shouldn't that help? Yep. Shouldn't that give him, like, the energy to study later into the night
or
something?
I don't know. Some people have sworn by some players in the past that would just play with that stuff. I don't know how you do it, man.
Okay, well. I'm not going to lose any sleep over Stephon Diggs learning the offense. Learn the damn offense and be ready when training camp opens. And
I think he's going to be just with this offense, just with that receiver room, and just what Drake May needed.
He was working out in France, so.
That's true. He was working out in France. And he
Shame on me for buying the hype. I know,
Drake. He dumped Cardi B.
Everybody should be pumped.
That's what I said. He is laser-focused on football.
Yeah, you know what he's laser-focused on? His next Cardi B.
$69 million.
Maybe Vitsy's on. Like, he was more focused on training than he was Cardi B in France, and that's why they're ultimately broken up. You know what I'm saying?
Maybe.
Yeah. I think he's laser focused in general because of the Tootsie. Thank you.
Or he could be. Or it could be what we've always heard. He's a dog. D-O-G.
Well, if you go back to his Vikings teammates, who would you never let your sister date? Stephon Diggs.
Think.
And it was. I think it was borderline unanimous.
Yeah.
That's one of those things. If you're like as a longtime web reporter, like that's a funny bit. Right up until everybody answers the same guy, and you're like. It's not as funny anymore. He's clearly a weirdo or a creep or something. So that's an interesting tale
in his past.
He's
got needs.
Well, we all have.
To say the least. Yes.
We'll have to ask Ted one day, like, from his playing days, who would he never let around his sister?
That's a good question. Yeah. I'll tell you guys that. Not on air.
We'll be waiting.
It's Stephon Diggs. He heard stories, and that just pushed him to the top of the list. All right, that's going to do it for 3 Points Dance. Nice job, Dan Ball. Nice job, boys. Up next here on WEEI Afternoons, we're getting a little head start on the 4 o'clock football hour. We're weirdly starting it at 3:30. I don't know. Dan Ball makes the rundown, and I do whatever the hell he tells me.
Good answer.
I'm like Ron Burgundy. There is a budding story on the internet that continues to simmer in the background, I guess would be the way to talk about it. It should be a bigger deal than it is, but it isn't. We've touched on it. The collusion issue between the National Football League, the Players Association, and now there's more issues with the leadership at the Players Association. Maybe there could be even a leadership change on the horizon, but we're going to start this topic of the collusion between NFL owners in terms of keeping guaranteed money down for star quarterbacks. We'll touch on that next here on WEEI Afternoons. But first, fresh off his 3-point stance, Dan Ball has what's trending.